Shokin.
There's a Kedusha Levi. Levi is from your Berdichev, who says in this parsha that we all know that at the end of the day, it's Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge all of Bnei Yisrael. He's going to judge them with tremendous rachamim. There's going to be chesed involved. But to bring about that rachamim, to make the rachamim happen, we have to do something first. Meaning, there has to be something called, and it's something that Aryeh knows very well, Isarusa de Lestata. Very, very good. Isarusa de Lestata. We have to awaken ourselves from down below in order to allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give hashpa down from above. Now, how do you do that? If you act with chesed, and you treat other people with chesed, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats you back with chesed. It goes right back at you. Here's the concept. If you're dan lechaf schus, if you judge other people favorably, if you end up looking at another person, you see that he did something wrong, and you say to yourself, you know what, he didn't mean it that way, he wanted to do something different, then up above, they use the exact same needle right back at you. They say, you know what, if he judged other people favorably, even though that person did something wrong, so too we should judge that person favorably. That's the way that we're able to open the gates in Shamayim to allow chesed and rachamim to come about. That's what it means in this week's parsha. Shoftim the Shotrim is judges and officers are all made titim lecha. You can make it for yourself. The chol shalecha with your gates. You have gates right here. Your gates are your mouth. Your mouth with your lips and your teeth and your tongue, which are gates to not allow anything to go through. If you allow your gates to open up and you allow these words to come through and you're dan lechav schus to another person, you can make your own Shoftim the Shotrim, which will judge you favorably at the end of days. That's the concept of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in your hands. Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha. It's for you, Lishvotecha, for you to be able to do, and for you to be able to make things happen. V'shoftos HaMishpat Tzedek. And if you do it correctly, you can judge everybody with a Mishpat Tzedek, and all this Mishpat Tzedek will come down for all of Klal Yisrael. It's only if you do this. That's the idea. People think that being Dan Lechav Schus is like, what's the difference? I mean, come on. God knows what's happening in Shemayim anyway, right? God knows if the guy's innocent or guilty. What difference to make if I think he's innocent? If he's really guilty, or vice versa. What difference does it make if I think he's guilty if he's really innocent? Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, he'll deal with him. What do I have to do with anything? The concept is this. If I say that he's guilty, then I create malachim through my words. Those malachim are accusing angels. And there's no case that's just black and white, as we have a lawyer here, that's black and white, absolute guilt or absolute innocence. There's always room where somebody did something dumb on one side, somebody did something dumb on the other side, and therefore because everybody did something dumb, they didn't do this, they didn't write this, they should have told this person, they should have asked first, there's something that happened, there's always a little bit of guilt and a little bit of innocence. By you adding on extra, I guess they prakhlidim, these types of angels that are accusing because you said something bad about that person, that can judge the guy lechav kova. It goes the other way as well. By donning lechav schus, by going and judging people innocently, by going up to somebody and saying, I think you were right in that, even though it seems so strange, that makes another malach, who's a defendant, go up and be able to defend that person. Now granted, the guy might have done something 100% wrong, but a defendant won't say, no, he's always 100% right. The defendant will go up, this defending malach, and say, it's something else. It was his parents. It was something else that he went through in his childhood. He grew up this way. It wasn't his fault. That's the concept. If we, chas v'shalom, use our mouths for bad, bad judgments can happen. If we use our power for good, that's the concept. Says the Sfas Emes, that's why it says, v'heve don es kol adam v'chav schos. V'heve don. One should. It's almost like a mitzvah to be done everyone v'chav schos. And if you don't do it, you're missing out on a huge chance for you to be able to improve everybody around here. If anybody knows Gittin, Dav Zayin Amad Aleph, in Gittin Dav Zayin Amad Aleph, there's a famous story with Geneva, that Geneva was bothering one of the Amoraim. And one of the Amoraim went to another Amoraim and said, I just can't stand the guy. I can't take him anymore. And immediately the Amoraim said to him, don't worry. Go to the base medrash, it'll all be over. Because once you said something bad about Geneva, it's automatically going to happen and Geneva's going to be killed. That was the concept. Once something bad is said, Geneva's killed. Geneva, if anybody's doing Daf Yomi, you know about Geneva. Geneva's all over the place. Rava went to Bay Geneva. Rav was by Bay Geneva. Geneva was a big Amora. But once somebody said something bad about you, you were automatically gone. That's the concept. That's number one. Number two, we're going to skip over to the parts about making a king. when making a king, Torah uses a very strange lashon. Listen to this language. So the pasuk says that when you want to make for yourself a king, let's find it exactly. That's too far. Here we go. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem Hashem Elokech Hanosin Lach. This is in pasuk Yud Dalet. Hanosin Lach that Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave you. Rishkav Yashav Tzvav Yal Marta. You will say, Asim Alayim Elokech Kol Avayim Asher Tzvi Vosai. I'm going to place upon myself a king like all the nations around me. Says the pasuk, Shom Tasim Alech Melech. You should place upon yourself a king. Asher Yichar Hashem Elokech Kol. Is this a mitzvah? Tell me, in the Rambam, sit the minyan mitzvos. Does it mention making a king is one of the mitzvos asei midioraisa?
The Rambam
says no. But it is.
No.
It is a mitzvah asei midioraisa. Oh, no, it says the other Rambam. That's okay. You have a mitzvah asei midioraisa, 100% you have to make a king. So I don't get it. Why does it sound like it's just, you know, if you want to make a king, if somebody comes up and says, we want a king, then you can go ahead and make a king. Shouldn't it be, you have to make for yourselves a king? But no, it's the Almarta. And you'll say, I want to make myself a king. Yeah, and afterward, that's the second question. The second question is that in the end of the day, the people who asked for it by Shmuel were punished. What did they do wrong? They did exactly what the Pasuk says. You say, and if you say, oh, they want to make a king like all the goyim around them, the Pasuk says. But Asim Alay Melech Kechola Goyim Asher Svi Vosai. Meaning the Pasuk even tells you to have a king like all the goyim around you. What's the problem with that? You're right, Aryeh, but what's the issue? If you're supposed to make it like the goyim around you, then make it like the goyim around you. They judge cases, they go ahead and they lead them to war. That's what you should have a king for. What's the problem? What's the issue over here? Sefer HaRidim says the reason why is because it's like Yefas Tohar. Everybody remembers Yefas Tohar by Kisav. When you go out to war, you see a beautiful woman, you're allowed to take her and grab her for yourself. Everybody says it's only connected to Yetzirah. Your Yetzirah is telling you to do it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you want it because of your Yetzirah. I'll allow you to have it because people can't hold back. But this seems a very strange thing. The nation can't hold back from having a king. The nation is just going crazy. We need a king. We need, what kind of Yetzirah is this? A Yefas Tohar, a very beautiful woman in the middle of a war when your senses are gone. That I can understand. But this? What in the world does this have to do with anything? Then it is. Takes it a little bit further. Then it is absolutely remarkable. He says, V'yamarta. V'yamarta is a strange lashon. V'yamarta means it's not a full mitzvah to appoint a king. And here's the reason why. Different times call for different measures. We all know that this war against Iraq and the war in Afghanistan and the war everywhere else within the Arab nations, democracy doesn't work by Yishmaelim. It doesn't work. They don't deal well with it. They don't know how to vote. And when they do vote, they cheat. I mean, it doesn't work by them. There are nations in the world that cannot deal with democracy. They need a king. They need a king because without it, the whole world is corrupt. Their whole nation is corrupt. There are certain places that need a dictator. A person who's going to be in charge, and his word is absolute God's word. There have to be places like that. While there are other places where a king will be detrimental to society. The society can't live with that king. They just can't deal with that king. They have to deal with the democracy, something that we have, something in our ways. So there are different societies, and different times call for different measures, whatever it is. You can't force a king upon Klal Yisrael. Forcing a king upon Klal Yisrael will be detrimental to what Klal Yisrael is all about. There are times where kings are good. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a king. That's perfect, because a nation that's coming out from Mitzrayim has to have one guy who is absolutely in charge. Because they had a democracy of a bunch of people. Well, who are these that came in? They were slaves. A slave mentality, 70 slaves, do not make a kingdom work. That's not going to happen. At the time, they needed a king. And even after Moshe Rabbeinu died, Yeshua had the status of a king. But then it changed. Once Bnei Israel settled in Eretz Israel, they've been living under Moshe and Yeshua for 70 years. At that point, that's when they said, you know what? We no longer need this. We can deal with the Shofet. Mm-hmm. And it went over to us. Neil ben Kenaz, Ehud ben Gera, Shamgar ben Anas, etc. And it went on. They went through all the Shoftim because they understood that's what they needed at the time. Sometimes they needed a king. Sometimes they needed a Shofet. It depended on the situation. Later on, they were going to need a king. And that's what the Pasuk is saying. If there comes a time when you need a king, where the society is getting corrupt, and the Pasuk says it straight out in Navi, anybody who's been through Shofet, Shoftim, by Pilegish Degiva, and by Tassel Micha, it says straight out, at those times, Ein Melech B'Yisrael. There was no king around B'nai Yisrael. There was not enough. It just wasn't enough to have a Shofet. A Shofet wasn't enough for them. They needed a king at that point. That's when B'nai Yisrael got up and said, it's time for us to have a king. Shmuel and Avi is unbelievable, but we need a system that's not just a Shofet ruling us. It needs to be a Melech who's going to be absolutely in charge. And that Melech, I know we're going to have to pay taxes, and I know he's going to take away our children, and I know he could take away our land at any point. We realize that, but we're ready for that. This is the time that's there. There's another time where the word V'amarta appears. V'amarta ochla baster. If you say you want to eat meat, V'zavachta mibakorcho mitzonecho, then you should shecht. Is it a mitzvah to shecht an animal? 100% according to everybody. It's the same mitzvah. Do you have to shecht an animal? No. It's not a mitzvah ki chiyuvis. A mitzvah that you're chayiv to do, says the Netziv. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. When you're ready to be mekayim it, it's a mitzvah to do. When the situation occurs where there's a mitzvah where you need to shecht in order to be able to eat meat, that's a mitzvah. When the mitzvah occurs where you want to bring about a melech, that's the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah right there. It's the same concept of yibum and chalitza. Yibum is a mitzvah, chalitza is a mitzvah. But you can't do both. So how do you choose one or the other? Chalitza only occurs when there's no yibum. That's the concept. It's called a mitzvah kiyumis, and that's the idea behind it. That's the idea of the mitzvah, and it can't be that it's automatic. Otherwise, it'll be an impediment to any type of progress you're going to have as a nation. It applies only when you absolutely need it. 300 years, they didn't need it. Later on, it came out. There are restrictions, however. Kadosh Baruch Hu said that a king cannot be chosen to judge them, as you mentioned before, and he can't be chosen to go out to war for them. So why not? I thought they just said over here that you're going to say to me that you want to have a king, kechol ha'goyim asher sviv osai, like all the nations around me. So what's the problem? Why in the world should that be? If you see the Kliyakar is an unbelievable answer for it. The Kliyakar is just absolutely amazing. But there is a reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu got upset over here. What's the pshat? Hashem understood, and B'nai Yisrael understood, that Shmuel HaNavi was a true judge. He judged everybody fairly and didn't do anything wrong. So Shmuel HaNavi was amazing. Number two, Shmuel HaNavi led them out to war and won every war against the Plishtim that he fought. Now granted, he never decimated the Plishtim like Dovid HaMelech did. Dovid HaMelech was able to destroy the Plishtim. He never decimated them, he never came to that point, but he defeated every war that came about him. So for those two reasons in which they asked for it, for war and for judging, at the time, they didn't need that. At that time of Shmuel HaNavi, they didn't need it. At other times, they might have. And at other times, you should ask for a melech that will be able to be like the guy. A melech who's a Talmud Chacham, David HaMelech. He judged cases. David HaMelech fought their wars. That's great to ask for a king like that. But at the time, they didn't need that. Has anybody ever wondered where Shaul HaMelech came from? Now, this is not the Netziv. This is my own. But have you ever wondered where in the world Shaul HaMelech came from? David HaMelech was alive. It was 2 years before David HaMelech became king. It's not like David HaMelech wasn't there. It wasn't like David HaMelech wasn't old enough. It wasn't like David HaMelech wasn't ready to become king. He was ready to become king. So why was Shaul HaMelech chosen first? The answer is because at the time, they didn't yet need David. Shmuel HaNavi was alive. And if Shmuel HaNavi is alive, you don't need a king to judge you. And you don't need a king to go out to war. Because you still have Shmuel. The king is pure leadership. A shofet, on the other hand, has to tell the people and make the people understand. In a way, yeah, the nation won't listen. It's not the same type of listening.
Pure leadership, because it's taken away from what?
Taken away from Shmuel. In this situation, pure leadership is when a guy gets up there like a rub of a shoal and he makes a decision, makes a psalm. Everybody accepts it and whatever it is, but there's arguments. There's people like dissenting in the background saying, I don't know if I'm going to do that in my own house. Because that's a rub. A rub doesn't have pure leadership. A king makes a law. If you go against the law, you can be killed. That's the difference. Yeah, Rebbe, in a way. It's a little bit more. It's just a little bit more than the power of a rub. That's a shofet versus a king. Shmuel HaNavi was perfect, so they didn't need David HaMelech yet. They needed Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech was told by Shmuel, do not go to war until I come with you. Because Shmuel had to be involved. Shmuel was with Shaul the whole time. And when Shaul HaMelech didn't do it, what did Shmuel HaNavi say to Shaul? You're gone. You're dead. You can't do it anymore. When Shaul HaMelech went to war against the Amalek and didn't follow exactly what Shmuel HaNavi said, because it's Shmuel HaNavi. He's the king still, Shmuel HaNavi. He's still around helping the king, making the king work. When he didn't do it, he's gone. And that's when you need a full king, because Shmuel HaNavi is going to die. And now you need a king who's going to be in charge of judging, who's going to be in charge of war, who's going to be in charge of everything in Klal Yisrael. That's what Shaul was when Shmuel was alive, and then afterward what David HaMelech happened in the other time. That's the concept of what happened over here. And that's what it means, Kechol HaGoyim Asher Tzvi Osai, is at some points, at other points, you can't have it like that. Like when you have a guy like Shmuel and Avi, you shouldn't have somebody like that. That's the concept. That's the concept behind it. Says the Chasam Sofer, the only way to have a king is about Kadosh Baruch Hu chooses him. Otherwise, there's going to be wild arguments. Everybody's going to say, I want to be king, or somebody else should be king. There's going to be wild. Who's going to choose who? Who's going to be in charge of who? That's going to be a problem. Everyone gets into a fight, and it's not worth getting into a fight. Som tasimo alecha melech. You should put upon yourselves a king. It's specifically, this should be the year of a king. It should have, the king should have awe, should have a fear upon him, that any time that anyone looks at him, they get afraid. There's a palpable fear. They say, how can I go anywhere near such a person? That's the idea of what this king is all about, and that's what it should be. That's the Som Tasima Lachamelech that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really putting in charge in anything. Sima is always Sima Bisnehem, right? Tosim Lisnehem by Tarshis Mishpatim. It's always a concept of paying attention. It's got to be an idea that people pay attention to and listen to. That's the idea. Now we're getting to a third part of the Parsha, and this is one of my favorite parts of the Parsha, and I have something over here that's unbelievable. I've spoken about magic before, and if you've been around me in Parshis Mishpatim 3 years ago or in Shoftim 5 years ago, I spoke about the concepts of magic and what they are. It's really unbelievable, and I give a whole share on what the Ramban says magic is and how it works. I'm going a different route now. I'm going to the concept of what it means to go to a Navi, or nowadays to go to somebody who seems to have Ruach HaKodesh. What does it mean to go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky? The Pasuk says the words, Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. You should be perfect with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It specifically says, in Perek Yurchas Pasuk Tes, Ki Atabola Aretz, when you come to the land, which God gives you, do not learn how to do all the abominations of those nations. You should not find amongst yourselves anybody who goes into Moloch, all different types of magic, tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. You should be perfect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and not get involved with magics. What is that mitzvah of Tamim Tiyah? Kirshis Levi says an easy answer. Tamim Tiyah Mashem Elokecha. Who is the person who is known as Tamim in the Torah? Does anybody know where the word Tamim appears?
Moshe when he was born.
Go back to your roots, guys. Go back to second grade. Close. Ishtam. That's very, very close, and I like that.
Noach.
Noach. Right? He was Ishtamim. He was Tamim Haya Bidorosa. Right? Perfect in his generation. What does Tamim mean? Tamim. It comes from the root of the word tam, which is Yaakov Ish Tam, meaning a simple-hearted person. A simple-hearted person means a person who does not consider himself kashuv. He thinks that other people are more kashuv. He lives and he's fine with who he is, but he really doesn't think of himself as a great person altogether. There are people who act so lowly in front of other people, they think that other people are greater than them. They're tamim with those other people. Tamim haya bidorosov is that Noah always looked at his generation and said, they're the tzaddikim, I'm a nobody. He couldn't give mustard to them. When they were doing something wrong, he couldn't say anything to them. He had 120 years to make Balei Tshuva. How successful was he? Grand total of zero. Is that unbelievable? Can you imagine, like, going up, being a Baal Tshuva rabbi, being a person in charge, and having zero influence on your entire generation for 120 years? You're a Navi, for goodness sake. And you have nothing. You didn't get anything over all those years. Nothing. How is that possible? And the pshat is that Tamim Tiyah, is there are certain people who just can't do it. They think of themselves as so lowly, so humble, so everything, they just can't think of themselves as any better. That's Tamim Tiyah with other people. The real way to be a tzaddik is tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. If you do so with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you look at yourself as lowly in essence in comparison to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you understand that there are some times when I have to get up and I have to say something to other people, or I have to give mustard to other people. It's one thing to be tamim bidorosa, but that's not the person we want in this world. We want a person who's tamim im Hashem Elokecha, who's willing to go up against other people and say, I think you're wrong, even though it's going to affect his relationship with other people around. That's the concept of what you should be. Tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. Okay, but another problem. It said in the beginning, Ki atah bo la'aretz, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, then you're going to think to do all these magics. Why would it be when you go to Eretz Yisrael that these magics would come up? Simple answer is, well, the Canaanim were involved in magics. The Canaanim were involved in magics, they might get involved as well. I hear that. That's a very simple answer.
They didn't do any magic in the Midbar. There was magic around
them. They had everything around them, right? They didn't have...
When it came into real life effort, everyone's always looking for a shortcut.
That's for sure true. But I would think even more so in the desert, when they were looking for meat, you don't think magic would have come in handy there? When they're always looking for water, when they were complaining, I would assume that they could have used magic at any point. And remember where they came from. The land of magic, Mitzrayim, was where all the magicians were. The Kishuv was rampant there. So why all of a sudden when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be so into magic? It should be, if anything, the Midbar should at least be equal. Granted, and I know that it should, maybe there's something different. Number one. Number two, don't we already know it's also to do magic? Mechashefa lo sechaya is a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that a witch should not live. Look, they got Parshas Mishpatim. This is all the way in Parshas Shoftim. This is 40, year 40. Mishpatim was given in Har Sinai. They for sure got the Mechashefa lo sechaya. So if they have that, they already know a Mechashefa shouldn't live, and they know that it's usher. What is this adding on? Is it another law? It's another law that you're not allowed to do this aside from Mechashefa lo sechaya? No. There is an opinion that says yes. There's two laws over here. Again, says the Nativ. Ingenious answer. We all know that Eretz Yisrael needs something very badly. Without it, the whole economy can't work. Rain. There's no real rivers throughout Eretz Yisrael. You need rain, and rain is the only way for it to work. Without rain, nothing works inside there. So you need to know two things. Number one, when the rain is going to fall. Number two, where the rain is going to fall. If you don't have either one of those things, you don't know what to plant. You don't know when to plant. You don't know what to do. You need to know exactly what time they're going to happen, or you're going to waste all your time planting and then realizing you lost everything. I know I'm comparing it, and it's apples and oranges, really. But there's a huge issue right now in the middle of the United States. I don't know if anybody's read any articles about this, but I just read an article that all prices should be going up tremendously because it's already the rainy season was way too late during the summer. All these farms all over Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, all these places, they all are shot. They didn't make any money whatsoever, which means that they're all gone. Even though it's raining now, it doesn't help them 3 months ago when they needed the rain that badly. That drought killed them, which means that all the prices are going to start going up. It's something you don't think about because what's the difference? Okay, another 15 cents for bread. We don't think that way. Back in the day, people died. Nowadays, it's just, okay, I got to pay another 15 cents. That's all we think about. The truth is that it was a terrible year, an absolute terrible year for all of them around. The seven nations needed to know this rain stuff. So they went to Chokhmas HaKishuv. They went down to Mitzrayim. They learned the magics that they needed to know. They came back, and they got involved, and they started owning him, especially the people that were involved with the clouds. They wanted to know when the clouds would come and where they would come. They spoke to the Ov and the Yidoni, to the dead people. So they'd know from HaKadosh Baruch Hu when rain would come. Again, those people who have done Daf Yomi and Yud Chesim and Beis and Brachos. We know that the dead know what will happen in the upcoming year. They hear from Rosh Hashanah what's happening rain-wise. So we know what's going to happen regarding these types of things. So they went and they tried to find out from all these different types of magics, how do we do it? Where should we plant? When's the rain going to fall? They tried to find out everything they should. Thus we're warned, not that we can't do magic. That's obvious. A Jew can't do magic. But maybe, I have an idea. Kill all the seven nations that are around. Learn the Chokhmah of Kishuv, and then bring in other non-Jews. Have those Goyim stay in Eretz Yisrael, and we'll go to them when we need something. Anytime we need something, there's a Balas Ov, there's a Baal Yidoni, there's somebody who knows how to do Ma'oninim, there's somebody who knows how to do Chover Chaver. So whenever we need it, you'll have a non-Jew there, not a Jew. Mechashefa lo sechai, I understand that, that's a Jew. But a non-Jew will sit in Eretz Yisrael, he'll be involved in Kishuv, he'll do everything. It's the machlokas whether B'nai Noach or Chayiv in Kishuv, but it's based on these psukim. Is a Ben Noach Chayiv in psukim? Maybe this is the idea. Maybe you should say this, says the Pasuk, Tamin Tiyem Hashem Alokecha. No, not even amongst the Goyim do I want you to have somebody like that. Even if you bring in a non-Jew from another land, I still don't want you to get involved in Kishuv because it's dangerous. These types of concepts are too dangerous to go into. It's not worth going in. It's an abomination, a toeva, says the Pasuk. An abomination should not be done whether it's you or them. Act with tamimus. Have bitachon and know that I'm going to be in charge. But if that's so, then we got a problem. What's the concept of a Navi? Why is there a Navi in Klal Yisrael? A Navi tells people what they want to hear. So why should there be a Navi in Klal Yisrael? Why is that any different? If we have Bitachon, we have Bitachon. Why do we have such great Gedolim that we can go to and we find out these crazy things? Crazy things, these gedolim that can see beyond the ordinary, that can see what's happening behind the scenes and tell people what to do. Why do we have them? Tongin Tiyam Hashem Elokecha. You should just not be talking to them. That's it. It should be the exact same thing. And even Bilam blessed us about this. Ki lo nichash b'Yaakov. We're not involved in these magics. We don't care about the future. We're fine with what we have, and anything we need that's more than that, we'll be okay with. It'll all be okay. Lo nichash b'Yaakov. However, says Rav Schwab, whenever there's a Dabar Tziburi, whenever there's a whole nation that is in trouble, either because of war or something else that's involved, and somebody's going to die, that's what you have a Navi for. The Navi is there for important instances where people might die. That's the concept. We need to have a chance, an ability, for us to be able to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if somebody might die. We want to fight another nation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't know if we should or not. So there was the Urim Tumim. There was the Urim Tumim that was available. There was a Navi, and there were other ways. There were dreams available for people if they needed to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a backwards way to be able to speak to them. This is why, so unbelievable, why Shaul HaMelech spoke to Abal Azov. Remember when Shaul HaMelech wanted to find out if he should fight the other nations? He wanted to know if he should go up against the police. Shmuel HaNavi was dead. So what did he do? The Urim HaTumim didn't work. The Nevi'im wouldn't tell him anything. And he didn't see anything in dreams. So what did he do? He went to Abal Azov. He understood the Psukim. That Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha is not a mitzvah saseh. Tamim Tiyam Hashem is a suggestion. If you want to have non-Jews, you can have them and leave them around, but it can't be a Jew. And it has to be a non-Jew who's going to be in charge. Now, granted, I know that the Midrash HaChazal say the Balas Ov was Avner's mother. I know that. And that would go against this because Avner's mother was for sure Jewish. Avner ben Ner. Ner was for sure a Jew. So the Balas Ov was Jewish according to this. But let's ignore that fact for right now. Let's say that this Machlok is Midrashim, or if anything, or there's something else involved. Regardless, let's say Shaul HaMelech left around a Balas Ov, said if he needed something, if there was no Navi, if there was no Ruach HaKodesh, if there was no Urim Tumim, and there was no dream, he could still go to the Balas Ov and he could ask them the question. And he wasn't doing it stump. It's not like Shaul HaMelech was trying to find out, should I tie my shoes to this morning, or should I wear my loafers? What should I put on? It's not what he was asking. He was asking, should I go out to war? People might die. And what was he told? He was told, go out to war and you will die. That's exactly what he was told. Go out to war, you're going to die tomorrow. It was a scary, scary prophecy, but that's exactly what he had to find out about. He had to find out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from him, and this is what he wanted. If there's a sakana involved, and Jewish lives are at stake, you'd think that this would be something that's mutter to do. To go to them, to the other side, the side of Tuma, to be able to ask them what to do, because you got to find out somehow, and the answer is, you're wrong. And Shaul HaMelech was wrong. And the reason why is because he should have done tshuva. Why didn't the Urim HaTumim work for him? Does anybody remember? What did he do? He killed. He killed all the Kohanim in Nov. So the Urim HaTumim wouldn't work for Shaul HaMelech because he killed all those Kohanim. There were Kohanim that survived. But because he killed that entire nation, that's the reason why. The Nevi'im wouldn't speak to him because he didn't listen to Shmuel HaNavi. That's the reason why. He should have done tshuva. Had he done tshuva, then he would have gotten a dream. He would have had a nevuah. There would have been the Urim HaTumim, but he didn't do tshuva. And that's why he was punished. This is the concept. He caused it himself by not listening to his own idea. That's the reason why. The other nations kept these people around. They used them for little things, and Shaul HaMelech thought that that was mutter for himself as well. We have a Navi. Here's the idea of what a Navi is and what our Gedolim are nowadays. These Gedolim, they know exactly what to do, and these Mekubalim. The purpose is to be a bit more private. Does a Navi know everything about everyone? Absolutely not. A Navi knows only what a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him at that moment. If I would go up to him and ask him a question, maybe he knows, maybe he doesn't know, but it's very possible he doesn't know what then.
What Navi will tell you what your Tashkism is?
If they were told. Meaning, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to send you a message, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a message to the Navi. But there were times where people went up to the Navi and the Navi didn't say anything. The same way that people go up to the Chazan. There's so many stories about the Chazan Ish, Reb Chaim Ozer Gradinsky, and the Chafetz Chaim. And they say, this is what the Chafetz Chaim told me, and this is what Reb Chaim Ozer told me, and this is what the Chazan Ish told me, and so many things were out there. But guys, they never told anybody about the Holocaust. I know that's out there, but they never said anything about the Holocaust. The concept is there are certain things that they know about, certain things that are held back from them, and that's true by any Navi. Here's the difference, and I know this is crazy, but this is what the Nativ says, and it seems to be 100% true according to Derech Hashem. The concept is that non-Jews who are into Kishuv know everything. They find out the future, and nothing is held back from them. Because there are certain things called segulas, and segulas happen no matter what you do. Even if you think it's not going to happen, segulas happen. That's what a segula is. A Navi only finds out what he's supposed to know, does not know anything else. And that's why Gedolim can know tremendous things, Ruach HaKodesh can be given out, and if you're worthy, it's not the Navi. It's not about him. If you're worthy, you'll get from the Navi what you want to hear. You'll find out from the Navi what you want to hear. That's why Shaul HaMelech and the boy, the Nar that was with them, they were looking for some sheep. They didn't know where those sheep are. I think it was donkeys. They were looking for the donkeys in the fields. They couldn't find them anywhere. So they said, oh, here's where the Navi lives. Let's go to the Navi. Ulai, maybe the Navi will be able to tell us where the donkeys are. What do you mean? If he's a Navi, shouldn't he be able to tell you everything? And the answer is, no. If the Navi was never supposed to tell them anything, there's no reason to go to the Navi. The Navi wouldn't know. Shaul HaMelech assumed, and that's why the Nar had to tell him, Shaul HaMelech assumed, why would he know about my donkeys? Why would that matter whatsoever? I'll just go home and it'll be fine. But the Nar said, maybe he'll know about it. Of course, we all know what happened. The Navi took one look at Shaul HaMelech and said, stay here, you're going to be the king. And that's what ended up happening. Your donkeys are home already, your father's worried about you, but you're going to be the king, send your Nar home instead. That's the concept of a Navi. It's amazing. It's the exact opposite of what you would have thought. You think that a Navi knows absolutely everything, and that a Navi will tell you anything you want to know. You go up to him and you ask for your tafkid in life. You just said, you go up and you ask, what is my tafkid in life, O Navi? What am I supposed to do? The truth is, the Navi only knows what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him. And sometimes, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him is not the best thing in the world for you to hear. That's sometimes what ends up happening. While a guy who's into all those other things, into all those magics, can find out much, much more. He'll know it, but it's not good to find those things out. Call it a self-fulfilling prophecy some of the time. Sometimes it's destructive. Sometimes it's just not the right thing to do. And that's the mitzvah. Tamim tiyim Hashem alakecha, to not even go to that side, even if you absolutely need it, to never go to that site to ask them for anything, even if it's a non-Jew. Never get involved in those types of people, because unfortunately those things do have some type of automatic. They're not what we're ready to go into. The three things that we went into today: number one is we understood the concept of Yisarusa Lasata, the way of being Dan Lachavschus, making Shoftim for ourselves, is number one. Number two, making a king. And the concept of a king, it depends on the time. Certain times need a king, certain times do not. And the third thing is Tamim Tiyim and Hashem Elokecha. We said number one, the Kedushas Levi, Im Hashem Elokecha, to be coming with Hashem, not just with your friends. And the last one with the Netziv, that in order to bring about rain, they went into magics. We can get involved in those magics whatsoever. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a great Shabbos.